without a doubt. It's also good to have Brother Charles here. He's home and home for a day or two, and I think he's fixing to go on vacation and go to Kentucky, of all places. But anyway, get you some fried chicken. Well, hey, if that's what you need, you can save a trip. There is Kentucky Fried Chicken here, all right?
Amen.
You don't have to go all the way there. Matthew chapter 24, all right? Matthew chapter 24. I see the communication going back and forth and saying, where are we? And I don't know where we are. Matthew 24, all right? Yeah, Matthew chapter 24. So hope you got your Bible. Been trying to preach to you on and teach, I guess, combination on Wednesday night about getting ready to leave. Hey, folks, that's what we ought to be doing. We ought to be getting ready to leave this world now. Now, I'm not fixing to invite you to Guyana and drink some Kool-Aid, all right? That's out, totally out, unscriptural, and we're not going to do anything like that. But I mean, we ought to be getting ready to leave because I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt the Lord's coming is just right around the corner. It's just maybe even tonight. Who knows, you know? So, it's a good thing to know what's coming, all right? So to be prepared for that. So we're going to look at tonight, and Matthew 24, if you will, look in verse 21. Matthew chapter 24, verse 21, and we're going to look at the tribulation period this evening. Matthew 24, 21, the Bible says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." We've looked, last week we looked at the judgment seat of Christ. The week before that, we looked at the rapture from the scriptural standpoint. I'm convinced right after the rapture and the children of God, we're in heaven, I believe we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And I believe the Lord's going to judge us, and as I mentioned last week, for our works, not about salvation, but for what we've done for Him. But that's what's going on in heaven. While we're in heaven, something else will be going on the earth, all right? And what will be taking place here, it will be the start of the tribulation period. It's going to do it. And the Bible says, notice what it says there in verse 21, the end of that verse, it says, it is such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. The Bible said there'll be great, great tribulation, all right? And we're going to look at that just for a little bit. Now, somebody says, well, preacher, there's always tribulation. Well, there is. There is. There's always problems. There's always trials. There's tragedy. There's sorrow in this old world. And as long as we're here, there's still going to be that. When we're gone, though, it's going to get worse, all right? It's going to get worse, all right? We have tribulation and trials here. I took a picture and put it in here of tornado damage. You know, you can imagine a family. I don't know if any of your family's ever gone through that. What a devastating thing to endure. That's a tragedy. That's tribulation. Sometimes it's personal tragedy, like in a car accident. Individuals go through dreadful trauma sometimes as a result of that. Sometimes it's nationwide and it's citywide. It's a Murrah building up in Oklahoma City that was bombed several years ago. And, of course, hopefully we'll never forget what happened on 9/11, okay? Yes, there is tribulation. There will be. You say, so what's the big deal? Well, take your Bible to John, all right? Go with me, if you will, to John chapter 16, the Gospel of John. You say, well, we always have tribulation, so why are we worried about that tribulation period? Well, we'll look at it, all right? We'll just look at it a little bit. John chapter 16, the Bible tells us here in verse 33, all right? This is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have a red letter Bible, this is in red, right? Okay, never mind, I won't go there. These things I've spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Hey, we're going to have tribulation. Down through history, there's been great periods of tribulation long before any of us were born. Back in the 1300s, the Black Death, just an outpouring of what is known as a bubonic plague hit, especially in Asia and Europe, and a third of the population died. It was a huge outbreak, all right? Hey, there's going to be, as long as you're in the war, you're going to have tribulation. In 1817, there was a cholera epidemic, all right? 1817, great cholera epidemic. Millions of people died worldwide, all right? Hey, there's going to be tribulation. In 1918, there was a Spanish flu, and multitudes of people there, 50 million people, I'm told, died worldwide. Now, folks, we can spit out numbers like that, but it's mind-boggling. I don't know about you, but I really don't have any concept of 50 million. All right? I have no concept of that. But man, huge numbers of people died with that Spanish flu. Now, obviously, the things pushed today is the COVID pandemic, you know. And there's been multiple thousands of deaths and around the world, all of that kind of things taking place. But I just want to tell you, all of that tribulation, that's not a drop in the bucket compared to what is coming on this earth during the tribulation period. Not a drop in the bucket. Those people that went through the Black Death, if they had to go through the tribulation period, they'd say, boy, the Black Death, nothing to compare to this. Nothing to compare to this. Same way with the cholera epidemic, Spanish flu. The COVID deal. I believe there'll be people alive today going to go through the tribulation period. They're going to remember this pandemic thing, and they're going to say, I wish we were back then. Not a drop in the bucket to compare to what's coming. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about the tribulation period, especially in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there's multiple names, and the tribulation period is identified by a lot of different titles, okay? For instance, in the book of Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 12 and chapter 13 and verse 6, it's called the Day of the Lord, the Day of the Lord. If you go to Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 21, in chapter 34 and verse 2, it's called the indignation of the Lord. Indignation. Now, you said, why all these names? Because it's needed to give all of the description so you understand exactly what the tribulation period is. All right? It is the day of the Lord, but it's also the indignation of the Lord. It's also that. We get to Isaiah 34, verse 8, and the Bible calls it the day of the Lord's vengeance. The Lord's vengeance. Hey, the Lord's going to take vengeance on this earth. We live in a day nowadays where people shake their fist in God's face and shrug it off and said, see, he didn't do nothing. Well, just wait. Wait. That's like a fellow fell off in a big, tall building, you know. We'll say the Empire State Building because it's the only one I can think of right now. The Sears Tower in Chicago, okay. Fell off the Sears Tower, top floor, and fell off. And he's coming down past the 50th floor. And somebody said, how you doing? He said, okay, so far. But hey, there's something coming. That crowd thinks they can shake their face in the face of God. The vengeance, the day of the Lord's vengeance is coming. That day's coming. It's also called in Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 7, the time of Jacob's trouble. The time of Jacob's trouble. Now, we're going to mention that again later, so be listening, all right? In Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse, or excuse me, Joel chapter 2 and verse 1, it's called a day of darkness. A day of darkness. And it describes it that way in Joel. In Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 15, it's the day of the Lord's wrath. The day of the Lord's wrath. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5, I think, kind of puts the stamp on it for the whole Old Testament. It is that great and dreadful day of the Lord. And you mark it down. Every one of these descriptive of that day, every one of them telling the truth, and every one of them just kind of adding to it, want you to know it's not going to be, you know, an easy time. It's not going to be Breeze City. It's going to be something else. It's going to be the day of God's vengeance on this world. There's also a term that is used in the Bible, and it's referred to as the 70th week. How many of you ever heard it referred to as that? 70th week, all right? It's the 70th week. You said the 70th week of what? Well, hang on. We'll get there, all right? I'm going to use this picture of these mountains to kind of help explain it, I hope, and help you see it, all right? I didn't just put it up there because I like the mountains, all right? But you got to realize this, okay? The Old Testament prophets did not see it all. They didn't see it all. Now, you read the Old Testament, it's amazing what God tells us is coming. It is amazing how much we can know of what's going to happen because of what they did see. All right? They saw a great deal. All right? Saw a huge amount. Now, the prophet Daniel saw a vision of 70 weeks. Don't take your Bible, if you will. Let's go to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, he saw a vision of 70 weeks. And that's the way it was put to him. In Daniel chapter 9, we're going to begin reading there in verse 25. So if you look there in your Bible, Daniel 9, verse 25, the Bible says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublesome times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." You said, "Do what?" Well, we didn't read it all right, because we don't have time to read it all. And we're not going to go into depth, but if you'll go back there to verse 25, it talks about 7 weeks and 62 weeks. All right. Now we test your Bible terminology. What is 60? That's 60. All right. A score in the Bible is not 7-5. You know, the gladiators won. A score in the Bible is 20. All right. So when you see a score, 20, that's 2 times 20. That's 40. 60, 60. All right. 60. And it says 62. Good. 62. Some great mathematicians here. All right. 62. Now, it said 7 before that, right? 7 and then 62. Well, 62 and 7 is 69. All right, 69. Now, this is in the midst of where Daniel's given this prophecy of the 70 weeks, all right? Now, this 70 weeks, all right, this 70 weeks is not 70 weeks of 7 days. It's 70, it's weeks of years. All right? In the scriptures, it's weeks of years. So 70 weeks is actually 490 years, all right? And so Daniel saw this vision, but what he didn't see and what the other Old Testament prophets did not see is they did not see the church age. They didn't see the church age, all right? Now, I told you I was going to try to use this picture here. If you can, there's a mountain peak and there's a mountain peak. Now, what's between them? Well, we don't know what's between them. Right? We don't really know what's between those mountains. Well, that's sort of the way, if you will, the Old Testament prophets, they saw some great mountain peaks. They saw the mountain peak of the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They said he's going to be born there in Bethlehem, and they knew it and knew how it was going to take place. And they saw the second coming. They saw the second coming. But the problem was they didn't see there was time period in between those two comings. They just saw those two peaks, and to them that was all one, all right? It was one. You say, where does that church age come in? Right here between verse 26 and verse 27 of Daniel 9. That's where the church age comes in, all right? It says, after 62 weeks in verse 26 shall Messiah be cut off, but notice, but not for himself. That being cut off is when he was crucified. He wasn't crucified for himself. Hey, he was crucified for me. He was crucified for me, all right? He was crucified for you. And that was the end of that total up to 69 weeks. So we've been waiting on that 70th week. We've been waiting on that 70th week. In the Old Testament, the church age was called a mystery because the Old Testament prophets didn't see it. So it's referred to as a mystery. Well, what about those 70 weeks, all right? Well, let's take a look at those 70 weeks just for a little bit, because that 70th week is the tribulation period. That 70th week is the tribulation period. Notice in verse 27 there in Daniel, would you notice there? It says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. For 1 week. But then notice, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. All right? So he said for 1 week. Now we're talking about the Antichrist going to make covenant with Israel. But he said in the midst of that week, things are going to change. He said, what are you talking about? Well, I'm trying to get you to see that what's happened here is we see a division in the midst of that 70th week. All right? We see that division in the midst of that 70th week. Go back now to Matthew chapter 24, all right? Matthew chapter 24, we see that same division in Matthew chapter 24. The Lord's given here, probably if you've got any kind of subheadings in your Bible there in Matthew 24, it says something about the Olivet Discourse. Now, don't get excited. That's not inspired Scripture, okay? And all that means is it's the Lord on Mount Olivet talking a discourse, okay? So he's talking, he's teaching the disciples. And look, if you will, in verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, shall deceive many, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. Notice, all these are the beginning of sorrows, all right? The beginning of sorrows, all right? That beginning of sorrows in Matthew chapter 24, 5 through 8, you say, well, we're having earthquakes. I know, and they're increasing, but wait a minute, the tribulation period is going to increase even more. All of these things that are mentioned here, we're beginning to see them now, but we're going to see them even more. Well, we're not going to be here. But the world's going to see more of them in that tribulation period. Blood, nation against nation, will be bloodshed. We'll talk more about that and further along in the message tonight. But this is in the first half. The second half of the tribulation is there in verse 21. You remember we read that when we started? It says there in verse 21 it says, then shall be great tribulation. That's the second half of the tribulation period, all right? In the first half of the tribulation period, there's going to be two witnesses God's going to send to preach. I've always said God's always had a witness. God's always had a witness. I believe that with all my heart. Hey, it was pretty dark days back yonder in the days of Noah, but he had a witness. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So he had somebody. He's always had somebody to stand in the gap, make up the hedge, preach and teach. He's always had, and he will, in the tribulation period. Now, before that tribulation period, I'm a premillennialist. I believe we're going to be raptured out of here before the tribulation period. There's a great host of people, or there's a good number of people today that are teaching that the church is going to go through half of the tribulation period. I've already talked to you a couple weeks ago. If you want to talk to God, maybe he'll let you stay, all right? But I don't believe we're going to be here. I believe we're going to be taken out, all right? And I've already gone over that. But God's going to send two witnesses back, all right? Say, who will they be? We'll get there eventually, all right, in this series, all right? Now, the second half, tribulation period, great tribulation. The Bible tells us Antichrist is going to rule for 42 months. All right, now, here we go. We're going to test your math skills. 1,260 days. Take a guess how long that is. 3.5 years. Just take a guess how long 42 months is. That's the other 3.5 years, all right? That's the other 3.5 years. So the first half, man, it's going to be tough, but that last half is going to be great tribulation. Great tribulation that's coming, and that's going to take place. The Antichrist is going to rule, and for 42 months, Israel's going to flee to the wilderness, and boy, it's going to be a time like never been, all right, and never has been. So that tribulation period is a time of God's wrathful judgment. Judgment's going to fall. Boy, when you're in that courtroom and everything's been said and done and that judge brings down that gavel, hey, judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. Well, that's what's going on in the tribulation period. Said, what is it? It's time of God's judgment. God's going to judge this old world. Take your Bible. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 2, all right? Isaiah chapter 2. We're going to read some scriptures here. I'll try to read fast. If you'll listen fast, maybe we won't get bogged down, all right? Isaiah chapter 2. I've thought before, you know, hey, this the message won't be that long. We'll get out early, and then every Wednesday night I look up. I go, wow, where'd that time go? So going to read fast, all right? Verse 10. Verse 10, the Bible says here in Isaiah chapter 2, enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be extolled in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fenced wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all pleasant pictures, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And the idols he shall utterly abolish, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. And that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. Now notice the picture here of that day of the Lord. Notice the picture here of the tribulation period, all right? The Bible said they're going to hide for one reason, for fear of the Lord, for fear of the Lord. Folks, if there's one thing you and I ought to have a fear of, we ought to have a fear of God. We ought to have a fear of God. You say, well, preacher, I thought he was a God of love. He is. Oh, he is. And you ought to love him. But you ought to fear him. The best example, the best illustration I know of is I love my dad, but I feared my dad. I had a fear of him, and that is a good thing. It's a good thing. The fear that I had of my dad kept me out of a lot of trouble. Kept me out of a lot of trouble. You say, well, I never feared my dad. Well, maybe you should have, okay? You ought to. I did. I feared my dad. He had a way about him. I knew, you know, judgment had come, and he'd deal with it, and so I had a fear of him, all right? Now, I loved him, and he loved me, never doubted he loved me. Well, I tell you what, I love the Lord, and I believe, I know God loves me, but I still fear him. I fear him, and because I fear him, you know what? Keeps me out of a lot of trouble. Keeps me out of a lot of trouble. Have you ever noticed how well you drive when you know there's a state trooper in the next lane? It's amazing how you obey the speed limit. You concentrate with all that you have on that speedometer. And if I'm changing lanes, put the blinker on. Look, ease over, turn it off. And pray he'll go around you. Right? Why? Because we're there. We have a little bit of fear. Hey, fear is a good thing. Fear of God's a good thing. You ought to fear God. The Bible said that day, though, what's going to cause them to do is hide, all right, because of what's coming, all right? And by the way, I believe men and nature are going to be judged. Do you notice what the Bible said in these passages? It even talked about the mountains and the hills. It talked about trees. You said, what? God? Yep, God's going to judge it all. Hey, whether we know it or not, realize it or recognize it or not, all of creation's been affected by sin. All of creation's been affected by sin. Every bit of it. And God's going to judge it, okay? God's going to judge that. We could go over to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 8, verse 7, 8, and 9. The Bible tells us 1/3 of the sea is going to be turned to blood. You said, now, preacher, that's allegorical. Where'd you get an idea like that? You must have been listening to some professor. Look, I believe in the Bible, you can just take it. You can take it literal, just believe what it says. You don't have to try to figure out, well, what does that mean? Well, it means what it says. Bible said, hey, it turned the blood in the day of Moses in Egypt. The river did. It's going to turn, a third of the sea is going to turn to blood in that day. I wouldn't want to be in the Navy then, all right? Okay. Thinking about Jake back there. Wouldn't want to be there. Revelation chapter 9, the Bible tells us there's going to be demonic armies turned loose to torment and kill mankind. The Bible even says one third of mankind's going to perish. Going to perish in that day. Of course, it's going to be an evil time, a difficult time. It's going to get so bad that the sun is going to scorch men to the extent, the Bible said, they'll gnaw their tongues with pain. Now, I've been in pain before, and I thought I was in a lot of pain, but I've never gnawed my tongue. Never gnawed my tongue. I was hurting, but I guess I just thought I was hurting. That day's coming, all right? That day's coming. And man, you say, well, couldn't get much worse. Yeah, it gets worse. Hailstones up to 100 pounds falling. I remember back in the 80s, there was a tremendous hailstorm here, especially on the south side of Fort Worth. And our Texas Baptist Athletic League that our school's part of, that night we were having a meeting. And down in a cafeteria down on the south side of Fort Worth, it was during Mayfest, and boy, they had huge hailstones, biggest softballs fell in that thing. And the people that went to that TBAC meeting, they all wound up under the table in the cafeteria they were in because all the sirens are going off. I'm so glad I skipped that meeting. I wasn't there. I was up here. I was at Dad's house, as a matter of fact. I remember that night, my wife and I, we were at Dad's house, and boy, I was watching the weather, you know, and I talked to my friends that were there, and man, their cars were just beat to pieces with the hail. But can you imagine a 100-pound hailstone? Man, just unbelievable. The Bible said, well, it's coming. You still don't believe that. Well, it'll get worse. Let's go to Revelation chapter 6, all right? Let's go to Revelation chapter 6. I was thinking about this message and thinking about the tribulation period, and there's no way you can deal with all of it. The Bible talks about trumpets and bowls and all those, and we're not going to try to cover all of it. I just want to kind of give you that idea and an overview of the tribulation period because it's coming, all right? But a lot of people, you say, well, what's it going to be like? I think as good a summary, and you can find real encapsulated, is Revelation 6 when the Bible talks about the four horsemen, all right? The four horsemen. You hear them talk now if you're a Notre Dame football fan. They used to talk about the four horsemen on Notre Dame's football team. That was a long, long time ago, all right? But the four horsemen of the apocalypse you'll often hear about, and that's the ones found right here in Revelation. So if you would, look there in Revelation chapter 6, and look with me in verse 2, all right? Verse 2. This gives us, like I say, a good summation of the tribulation. The Bible said, and I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. All right? A white horse, all right? There's that white horse there in this pictorial description, you know, and depiction of it, that white horse. Now, there's multitudes that try to tell you that rider on that white horse is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not true. Now, there's another white horse in the book of Revelation. And the one on that white horse, yeah, no doubt about it. His name's on his thigh, the King of Kings. There's no doubt about who that is. But there's no doubt about who this is either. All right, no doubt about who it is if you're a Bible believer. And we're not going to run all the references or anything like that, okay? You can do some of the studying on your own, all right? So we're not going to do it all, but hey, it's going to be the Antichrist, all right? He's going to come, he's going to go forth conquering and to conquer. Now, when that happens, the next horse is red, And the Bible said there in verse 3, if you look at that, when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Great sword. This rider on that red horse is going to take peace away from the earth. People today think they don't have any peace. You wait till that day. All peace will be taken away from the earth. Now, I believe that has to do, and it does say in the next one, they'll kill one another, okay? It says that same verse, they'll kill each other. There's going to be a lot of killing. I think there'll be warfare, but I think it'll be individual things too, all right? Hey, when things get as bad as they're going to get, you're going to have what amounts to anarchy. That means there's no real rule of law. There's nobody to keep things in order. You turn human beings loose today, they'll go downhill in a hurry, all right? And peace will be taken away from the earth. There's going to be killing. There's going to be bloodshed. There's going to be warfare all throughout the earth. Hey, not in one place, not just in Chicago, not just in some big city, all over the world, all over the world. Today, oftentimes, people live out in rural areas think they're insulated from that, and in a lot of ways, they are. But during the tribulation period, I don't believe that's going to be true. I don't believe that's going to be true at all. The Bible said peace be taken from the earth. Now notice, if you will, in verse 5, all right? If you will, in verse 5, the Bible said here, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. You say, preacher, what in the world is that talking about? That's talking about famine. Yes, sir. Famine. You read in the Old Testament how they sold the dove's head, they sold dung for people to eat. And the donkey's head, that was what they ate. Why? They was in a famine. Yeah, they even ate their own kids. It never happened. Oh, yeah, it'll happen again. It will happen again. It's coming in that tribulation period, famine. Famine's a terrible thing. We're blessed. We've been blessed in our land. We've not known famine. We've not known famine. When there's famines in the world, we go around and we take up food, we take up donations. Boy, we send it overseas, we send it to that place, and they pass it out, hopefully they do, and try to feed those folks. What a wonderful thing to do. But in that day, there won't be any place to send it from. So it's going to be worldwide famine. Worldwide famine. Remember, God's wrath poured out on the world. All right? Not just one place. Now, notice, if you will, in verse 7. Verse 7, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. Notice, death is coming. This is death personified, if you will. All right? They usually like to depict death with that sickle type thing, you know, over their head and that kind of deal. Hey, that's not maybe a bad way to do it. Death is coming when it comes, but the Bible said that over a fourth part of the earth they kill with the sword, but not just with the sword, with hunger, famine, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. Beast of the earth. We get excited around here because somebody in a city area sees a mountain lion. And it ought to cause people to get excited, I guess. And we see coyotes. And people, you know, you hear them announce over the television, if you're in this area, make sure you don't let your pet out. I'm going to tell you, in that day, it's not going to be the pet you're going to be worried about. People are going to be worried about themselves. All right? God's going to turn that loose, those four horsemen. Now, wait a minute. I don't want you to get the idea that, okay, there's going to be a little bit of while of this guy going out conquering and to conquer, and then it'll be followed with this red horse, and peace will be taken away. No, it's all going on at the same time, everything. It's multiplying, it's gathering steam, all right? All during the tribulation period, that's what's going on, all right? Now, the Bible says this. I want you to take your Bible to Matthew chapter 24. You said, how bad is it going to get? Well, I read my Bible, and just the way I understand what I read, when we get to Matthew chapter 24, and we'll look at one verse here. Look at verse 22, all right? Verse 22. The Bible says here, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. You see, I believe with all my heart, they're going to shorten that. The Lord's going to cut it a little bit short. You say, what do I mean a little bit short? I mean, it's not going to be a whole 7 years. God's going to cut it just a little bit short. Why? Because if he didn't, everybody on the earth would die. Everybody on the earth would be destroyed. That's the way I understand what I read there. If you understand something different, you can enlighten me. All right? That'll be fine. But it's going to be a terrible, terrible time. All right? Nations will be judged. But not just nations, boy. Israel's going to be judged. Remember I said it a while ago, it's going to be the time of Jacob's trouble. I want to point out to you, just to reinforce what I said about the rapture, Jacob had nothing to do with the church. All right, you with me? Jacob, he fathered the 12 tribes of Israel. His 12 sons were fathered the 12 tribes of Israel, okay? Now, that's Old Testament, that's the Jews, that's Israel. That's why I believe with all my heart, church's not going to be here in tribulation period, because the time Israel's going to be judged. The sons, all right, it's the time of Jacob's trouble, all right? But praise the Lord, we'll get there before we get through. Israel's going to be saved. Nation, the Bible said, to be born in a day. The earth itself will be judged. Revelation 16, verse 18, 19, and 20 talk about the mountains are being moved and the islands will flee away. Why? Because of the wrath of God. The wrath of God. Now, we get here. All right? We get to this point. How does it affect you? How does it affect you? You said, preacher, I thought you just said we ain't going to be here. We're not. But who do you know? Who do you know that if the rapture was tonight, would be here tomorrow? Who do you know, all right? Hopefully, the idea will stir men to salvation. I'll be honest with you. When I was a kid, when I got saved at 9 years old, we were studying the book of Revelation in Sunday school. And God used that. He said, well, it scared you. No, it brought conviction. It brought conviction in my heart. Man, I'd go to church on Sunday morning and that Sunday school teacher would talk about that stuff and I'm going, wait a minute. I already told us the rapture's taking everybody else. My mom was saved. My dad was saved. And there was a slight possibility, my brother. Now, my brother had gotten saved, all right? And I knew that left me. At that time, we lived out on the river out from Fort Myers. You couldn't see another house from our house. And you had to walk probably about a mile to get to the closest house to us. I'd lay in bed at night thinking, if the Lord comes back tonight, I'm going to be left here by myself. I'll tell you, it stirred my heart. I thought, I better get saved. I'd like to tell you, man, it's my dad's great preaching that brought conviction. No, it was a Sunday school teacher. Teaching the book of Revelation brought conviction. Well, I hope it stirs your heart. If you're not saved, you're not saved. Now, you've been fooling yourself. You've been fooling everybody else. If you're not saved, the idea of the possibility of you going through the tribulation period ought to stir you to get saved. It ought to cause you to get saved. I believe this without a shadow of a doubt. I believe anybody who's ever sat through a sermon or a lesson about the tribulation period and what's going to take place, and that person didn't get saved then, they're not going to have a leg to stand on before God. They're not going to be able to say, well, God, if... No, you had a chance. You had a chance. But what about you that are saved? Surely it'll stir us to warn somebody else. Who do we know? You got family lost. You got family that you think might be lost. Got anybody like that? You ought to kin folks? In order to stir you, say, I've got a witness to them. You say, preacher, I've already witnessed. Well, don't quit. Don't quit. Find another way to go before them. If it's, hey, you know, I know I've talked to you about this before, but I'm worried, I'm concerned, I love you, and I don't want you to go, I don't want you to die without Christ, I don't want you to go to hell, I don't want you to go through tribulation period. I want you to get saved. Hey, you kin folks, friends, those people that you call friends, boy, if the tribulation started tomorrow and you went to heaven and later they saw you and said, "What? How come you didn't tell me? How come you didn't tell me?" Neighbors? You got good neighbors? Good neighbors are wonderful things to have. And I'm serious. It's good to have good neighbors. But if you told them how to get to heaven, if you told them. Look, that's our response. It ought to stir us. Now, there's some people in this old world I don't care much for. I'll be honest. I said, preacher, I thought you loved everybody. No, that's what we're supposed to do, but I hadn't quite got there yet. There's some people I don't care much for. But I don't know anybody that I want to see go through what the Bible describes in the tribulation period, where the wrath of God's poured out on this earth and upon everything and everybody that's here. Hey, who do you know? How does it affect you? Would you bow your head this evening? Every head bowed and every eye closed, if pianist would go.